Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, March 30th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere from our website, of course, at ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching our visual radio program, streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We are glad that you are with us this morning as well, everybody, because coming up in the next few moments, we're going to get an update of everything going on at Bloomfield Schools these days. Bloomfield School Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell is my guest. We'll be talking with her in the next few moments, so please stay tuned for that starting this morning. And then, of course, later on, it is Tuesday, so we'll be checking in with Amber Francisco over at the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter, and Amber will be talking about some of the pets available for adoption this week, including the pet you see on the screen right now. That's Wonder Dot, and we'll be learning more about Wonder Dot later on this morning at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE, so we hope you'll stay tuned coming up later on this hour. Next hour, Mick Hess is going to take us roving with the arts. It's our classical music program, of course. You can hear that every weekday morning beginning at 9:06 after the news. This morning, Mick is featuring music from Gustav Holst coming up on the program today. So stay tuned for that as well. In addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we invite you to connect with KSJE on Instagram as well. And let's talk about the weather forecast, shall we? It is sunny this morning outside, 39 degrees in Farmington at the moment. The winds are gusty a little bit, 11 miles per hour, so it feels like 34. It's going to be a breezy day today with sunshine and a high cooler than yesterday. 53 is the high that we'll see this afternoon. Windy overnight tonight with a low of 21, and then things begin to warm up a bit tomorrow with sunshine. 58 degrees on Wednesday, 28 overnight, sunny and 69 by Thursday and 42 overnight. Then take a look, 72 and partly sunny on Friday, 76 with mostly sunny skies on Saturday and Sunday, lower 70s again with partly sunny skies on Monday and overnight lows down into the 40s. Well, let me introduce my guest who is joining us this morning, as I mentioned, from the Bloomfield School District, Superintendent of Schools with the Bloomfield School District. Dr. Kim Mizell is my guest. Dr. Mizell, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning. It's good to see you as well.
Thank you for joining me this morning and talking about, as I mentioned, all things going on at Bloomfield Schools. And I guess the most recent thing we were just talking about before we came on the air this morning is students returning to Bloomfield High School, and that happened just yesterday.
Yes, they returned yesterday, and then our elementaries and junior high will return on April 5th.
Very good. And so I know it may be too early to tell, but that return to Bloomfield High School was after almost a year, over a year, right, that the students had been out of the classroom.
Yep, we anniversaried a year at spring break.
Wow.
So they've been out of school for an entire year. We started the hybrid model after the holidays, where we had 50% come on AAB schedules. So we've had kids in the high school for a while now, but full 100% was effective yesterday.
That's what was the difference.
But we didn't have 100% opt-in, so we still have remote learners out there. And so we're just moving through the rest of the year. Hopefully they enjoy the opportunity to be with their friends and learn from their teachers face-to-face.
Very good. Well, and that is kind of the goal right now, right, is to kind of keep an eye on the end of the school year and wrapping up the semester in what I think everyone would agree has been a very unique and challenging year for students and parents, teachers, and staff, and you, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been very challenging.
Right. And so what's the goal for, I guess, between now and the end of the school year? Is just try to complete the lessons and try to maintain the learning and see what kids have retained and learned during this year as best you can?
The main goal is to finish up strong and provide support for the students. We're hitting it strong with some intervention programs and tutoring and just to make sure that they're in a good place for next year. And we're working on actually monitoring and supporting the seniors for sure to make sure that they're ready to graduate.
Very good. And for parents who may be a little concerned about how their student is doing at Bloomfield Schools, I mean, you've got programs in place even at this late stage in the semester, in the school year, to help, correct?
Right. Yeah, if they're concerned, they can always call the school and speak with the administration first, and they can pull up their grades and information. If they have a concern with an individual teacher, they can email that teacher and talk to them. We've done a lot of outreach this year, and I think it's paid off in the sense of contact with students and making sure that they feel like they're part of the learning process during the year.
That's good to know. And so let's talk a bit about maybe the plans for the end of the school year. For your seniors, of course, graduation has got to be a big conversation at your high schools, and being able to maybe make plans for whatever the situation may be. You know, as the cases continue to decrease in the county, we're all hopeful that we'll still be in turquoise or better in April, May, June, and beyond. But what's the situation? You're planning maybe different contingencies for graduations?
We're hoping the rules state that you have to lock in under the color you are for the county. So with turquoise, we can move forward with definitely an outdoor graduation at our football stadium. In green, we can move forward with a outdoor graduation at our stadium as well, with limited participants as far as people that can come. And then if we're even yellow, we'd only allow like two people per child to come. So we're still going to do an outdoor graduation. We're hopeful that we'll be in turquoise to lock it in 2 weeks prior, and then we'll go move forward from then. We're trying to also plan a project graduation for this class, and hopefully they'll get to enjoy that after graduating that evening.
Got it. That would be great. And so I guess the message maybe for families, for seniors and parents watching and listening to us this morning, Dr. Mizell, is to kind of stay tuned, because it sounds to me, even if you have an outdoor graduation, it's really the question is the number of audience members that could join you live and in person at that outdoor event, correct?
Right. It's what the number that's allowed. So how we'll work that is we have approximately 160 graduates. We would divide the number of people that they can invite by that percentage that was allowed. So if it's 75%, our stadium holds about 4,000. So we should be able to get quite a few people in there, but also have to try to keep some distance between groups, which is challenging. If you watch the Aztec football game, the Bloomfield stands were packed. So yes, they had to limit who else could come in. So anyway, controlling the public can be interesting, so, and they're big fans.
Especially when they want to enthusiastically support their hometown team, so that's understandable.
Right. Right, and we have such a rivalry with Aztec. It's just crazy. So
Right.
we definitely can pack a stadium
No
in
kidding.
it with games if we need to.
Very true. And that brings me to talk to you a little bit about the football team, the Bobcat team, because you, the Bobcats, are going to be playing Deming in Albuquerque, right? That's the next game coming up.
Actually, we're playing Loving in
Loving.
Albuquerque at the
Sorry.
UNM Stadium.
But that's a pretty
Yeah,
big
so we'll be.
deal.
Yeah, it is. I don't even understand how they did the selection process for regional bowl games, but that's who it ended up being. So, well, I'll be headed down to Albuquerque to watch them in the UNM Stadium. So that's kind of fun.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Good luck to the Bluefield Bobcats as they do that. And again, this is all part of the
They're
NMA.
exciting to watch in our basketball.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think getting the student athletes back
Sorry.
on the field and back in the
We have a little delay.
we do. Getting your student athletes back on the field and on the court, that's been an important thing for your students as well, hasn't it, recently?
Yes, and they're very exciting to watch. The both boys and girls sports are always fun to watch, and our basketball team beat PV the other day, so I'm kind of proud of them. They scored a pretty high scoring game, and they're fast paced and they're fun to watch. So I watched them on the TV at home, which is really nice because we have the video streaming, and they're pretty impressive. So I want to invite everybody to come watch them play.
Very good. They should do that for sure and support the Bluefield Bobcats as they get back on the field and on the courts, as we have mentioned. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you are working, you and your staff working on budgets now. And so after the state legislature, of course, has wrapped up, we're waiting on the governor to approve the budget. But do you have some good indications of where you'll be financially in the new school year and then budget year that begins July 1st?
We're kind of just hearing rumblings that we'll be not really having a big increase. We will have an increase for employees to try to cover the increase in insurance. Other than that, our student unit value is going to be stay pretty flat, not big increases. And Bloomfield has struggled with lost enrollment just like all the other districts in the area, and so we were disappointed that we weren't going to be held harmless, and so we're going to have to tighten up our belts. But we also have a positive note that the full credit will receive full credit for the impact aid dollars, when in actuality in the past we only got like 25%. So now we're going to get 100% of that, and that's about $2.6 million to the district. So that will help with our SEG values.
Right, and that is significant, I think, too, because that's affecting not only your district but others in New Mexico, and will be an additional funding from here on out. Isn't that how you understand it?
That's right. It's for the school districts that they really don't generate enough tax revenue to support necessarily the school systems as well as they need to. And so the impact aid dollars are federal dollars that supplement schools and primarily Native American boundary border school districts receive funds for that. So for the Navajo Nation, and so that would be like Shiprock, Zuni, Gallup, and Grants. Those school districts receive significant amount of money through impact aid, and Farmington actually might be applying. So
Gotcha.
anyway, that's just an additional funding to support the districts with all kinds of things. It can be maintenance, it can be staffing, it can be tutoring, it can be whatever you deem necessary in your school district. You can utilize those funds for that.
And very good. And this was the result, as you were telling me, of a lawsuit that was filed against the state about the way that they were divvying up these funds. As you mentioned, you didn't always get 100%, and now you will be after this lawsuit has been resolved in the courts. And that's kind of what has brought this about this year at this time.
Yes, I think there was quite a bit of pressure being put on the state to address the funding formula, and they made that adjustment this year through the legislative session. So it's a good thing. The districts that need the money, they need it for their facilities. Just some examples were like in, I think, Gallup, one of the schools didn't have air conditioning. And so it's, you know, we get hot around here. And so they're hoping to put air conditioning units in that school to get it cooler. And some of the construction restraints that happen at the state level, there's, you know, minimums that you have to meet. And a lot of times they don't meet the need of the area. So, for example, that entire school was not ventilated for air conditioning. And so there's just some needs that need to be addressed in a lot of areas, and this disparity between facilities in some areas where they have a lot of revenue. It shows when you go and play games in those other districts. So they need the help and they need the funds to keep things nice for their students.
Sure.
So it's a good thing.
And that's important. And I think part of this, if I'm not mistaken, is really goes back to property taxes, which helps fund our schools throughout the state. And so if you're in a district that doesn't have a lot of land that has that's taxed with property taxes, like reservation land is not, this is where that impact aid comes into effect. Isn't that the difference?
That is exactly how it works.
Got it. Well, that's good to know. And so you mentioned enrollment.
That's good. The explanation.
Thank you. And you mentioned enrollment, Dr. Mizell. And so are you hoping or getting any indication that maybe some of these students that were not there this past school year will show back up maybe in the fall if things are somewhat back to normal? And I hate to use that term because I don't know what that's going to look like. But is that a hope that you have?
I think they're going to come back because where we lost our enrollment was kindergarten and like first grade. So I'm thinking some of the parents just didn't send them to kindergarten this year. And so hopefully they will send them this next year. Some parents just decide to keep them home, I guess. But so that's what we're looking at. And I think that's across the state. I've heard that same concern that it's in the lower grade levels. And so either that or our community members have moved to other places for jobs. You know, you're talking young families. They need employment. They've had to relocate or whatever. And they just felt to let the schools know. We've been trying to track them. We have numbers of students that we've been locating, and we worked with Engage New Mexico, which is a state program where they reach out and make phone calls as well. And they connect it with like all the systems, like free, that they get their EBT cards. So they're tracking students through multiple systems within the state to try to locate them and talk to the parents. So it's a very large effort done by the state, and we've been able to make contact with several of the students, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, and I know that's important in not just your district, but all districts are trying to really keep track of these students to see where they're going. It's not new that students have been kind of mobile and families have been mobile for a long time, kind of transferring within districts, even in just San Juan County. But what is, I think, relatively new from this past year is just that they've maybe fallen off the radar in some cases, and it's been a little bit more harder to track where they've gone. If they've moved to another state and re-enrolled, that's okay. You just like to know where they end up.
Yeah, we've sent out radio announcements on KNDN and just trying to make sure that parent families know, just to keep us informed. We'll work with them however they need support, and we've done the best we can under the circumstances.
Right. Very true. So in the fall, Dr. Mizell, I think you were telling me too before we came on the air this morning that your plans are to still offer, if families requested or wanted, virtual learning for their students in addition to hopefully face-to-face if things have opened back up by August, which we all hope that will be the case. But virtual will be kind of an ongoing option for your parents?
Yes, we really want to encourage the lower grade level families to send their kids to school, though. It's very difficult to teach reading virtually and remotely unless the parents are really involved.
Right.
So we're We want to encourage, we prefer the traditional in-person scenario for students, but we will offer a remote learning option.
Got you. And that's for all grades?
Yes.
Very good. Dr. Mizell, I wanted to ask you a bit about, it was in the news, I forget exactly if this week or last week, but you had a small fire at one of your buildings in the district, and it was in the roof, I think, not necessarily causing a lot of damage inside the building, but can you give us some update of what happened and how things are going with that building, what the damage was?
Yeah. Yes, it was a heating and cooling unit that overheated and caught fire. There was some structural damage of the roof, but we didn't lose anything on the interior. We had a computer lab and some technology stuff that we were worried about, but it's okay. Where that part of the school is closed, still, it was a separate building from the main building. And those of you who live in Bloomfield, it was the old kindergarten building, which is now utilized for like physical therapy, our testing lab, and support for students, different types of students that need additional support. They have bigger rooms. They have like the larger kindergarten rooms. So we had to relocate everything. So they were moved into the main building, and we're waiting on the insurance people to look at it and file the claim and basically determine what we can do in repairing it. It's a repairable. There's not, it's something that we will fix for sure. So the building isn't ruined.
Good to know. And this was at the elementary school?
Yeah, Central Primary.
Central Primary, pardon me. Thank you. And so it's good to know that that building will be put back into use after the repairs are made and allow you to continue to use that space. I always have to ask you about the car giveaway because it's, I think, a great genius idea for your students and your older students in the high schools. And that is still ongoing, right? You're going to have students in a drawing for car, a new to them car at the end of the school year, depending on their GPA, right?
We have two newly used cars. How's that?
Gently used.
We work in partnership with gently used. Yes, that's good. We work with Zymes Ford, and they usually partner with us on this. And so we have two that we'll be giving away. And this year we changed it from an attendance incentive to a GPA incentive. So we have approximately 312 students, which is about 42% of our students that are eligible for the drawing for the vehicles. So that's pretty good considering what the kids have gone through this year and the remote learning and everything that they've shown such resilience. I'm proud of all the kids and the teachers who are the champions of all of this. So one of the neat incentives I put on every year.
Well, so. It's a great idea, and whatever it takes, I think in some cases to keep kids engaged in coming to school and showing up at class, whether it's Zoom or in person, whatever the case may be, especially this year, whatever ideas you have has got to be important and great to keep the kids engaged in learning. And so, as I mentioned, looking ahead, the finishing strong, as you mentioned, your advice for parents and for students who are watching and listening to us this morning?
I would just say support your students. Don't hesitate to give the schools a call if you're concerned. Call the teacher in particular first, and if you don't get a response, then you go to the administrators, which are the principals. We're really wanting to show that we want to support your families and your students in succeeding through the Bloomfield school systems. So don't hesitate to give us a call. I even got an email yesterday from a parent, and I made contact with the school and asked them to address the concerns that she had. It's just important that they reach out and advocate for their child right now in particular, because with our remote learning, the distance is a problem. We don't see them on a regular basis. A lot of times, I know as a teacher, I always read the child's behaviors and read how they were acting in class, and I would make a point to reach out to them and just make sure they're okay. Sometimes little guys don't know how to handle things and they don't know what they're how to respond appropriately always. And so, you know, just show some grace for your child and help them to maneuver this reentry and going to school all day long. It's going to be, the routine has changed. And so, and in schools, routines are a lot of times the answer to a lot of problems. If you have a routine in your classroom, kids know what to expect. They don't get anxious. They appreciate that routine. So I would say maintain a good, strong routine at home with the homework and getting them up in the morning, make sure they have good breakfast, supporting them. We also provide breakfast if you aren't able to get them breakfast in the morning. So know that they'll be fed. And I wish everyone the best in this new reentry into the school and getting through this pandemic. It's been a heart-wrenching year for all of us.
It certainly has, and certainly a learning year and a challenging year for all of us as well, as you've mentioned before. And again, kudos to you and your staff and the teachers and the parents and the students who've been doing all this heavy lifting during this whole year. So, Dr. Mizell, I always appreciate your time, spending it with me once a month to update our audiences on everything going on at Bloomfield School. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. You always do such a great job, and I appreciate this time.
Well, we appreciate you as well, and we'll connect again next month.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. We will. Very good. Thank you very much. That is Bloomfield School Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell joining me this morning on KSJE. And I'll be back with more, of course, in just a moment, everybody. The time right now is 8:36.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.